our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the reading, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts." First of all, I think the finding of God or not finding of him is not because he is not around or available, but rather because we are not ready to find him in the way that he would have us do. When can we go and meet with God, the psalmist asks, or more completely, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? It is seldom God who hides, but rather we who do not seek. We are obsessed with the wrong things, our sin, our unrighteous standards and thoughts. And now we come to Hamlet. Out of context, this sounds like a sandwich on the Steak and Shake menu. I'd like a Hamlet, please. Or perhaps Shakespeare is making a play on words with Danish ham, right? Famous and delicious throughout the world. There are just two of us, so I think I'll have a Hamlet for Easter and not a full-sized ham. But William Shakespeare has a different dish for us, best served cold. Hamlet is a tale of obsession over revenge. The revenge of a son for his murdered father, the ghost of the king, Hamlet's father, appears to Hamlet at the beginning of the play and declares his own foul murder that must be avenged. But Hamlet dithers around with doubts and proofs and science and myths and legends about ghosts. And finally, having set the stage for both confession by his uncle of the murder of his father, and himself having heard that confession of his uncle, the current king, and also his newly minted stepfather, nevertheless, he further hesitates in order that the vengeance would not send the now freshly confessed king to heaven, but rather to hell. Hamlet speaks. Now might I do it, Pat. Now he is praying. And now I'll do it. And so he goes to heaven. And so I am revenged. That would be scanned. A villain kills my father, and for that I, his sole son, do this same villain send to heaven. Oh, this is higher in salary, not revenge. He took my father grossly full of bread, with all his crimes broad blown as flush as May. And how his audit stands, who knows save heaven, but in our circumstance and course of thought, 'tis heavy with him. And am I then revenged to take him in the purging of his soul when he is fit and seasoned for the passage? No, up sword, and know thou a more horrid hent when he is drunk asleep or in his rage or in the incestuous pleasure of his bed at gaming, swearing, or about some act that has no relish of salvation in it. Then trip him that his heels may kick at heaven, and that his soul may be as damned and black as hell, whereto it goes. My mother stays. This physic but prolongs thy sickly days. And Hamlet exits. And King Claudius, the uncle, responds, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. As a result of this hesitation and the perfectionistic desire for double revenge, Hamlet dooms nearly the entire Danish court to murder by poison, by violence, by suicide, until only his friend Horatio and the decisive yet mysterious Fortinbras remain to clean up the murderous mess that is the court of Denmark. Now, I'm not saying the seminary is Denmark. And this would seem to be an echo of our scripture text that we should seek the Lord's mercy when it should be found and not worry about the rest. How often does politics or the way we handle pandemic matters or our individual opinions on worship, liturgy, music, or entertainment, or on a host of other things, get in the way of our fellowship and even our sound doctrine and Christian life? We are often so petty in our judgments, yet we expect mercy at every turn. But aren't we often like Hamlet, required to do a simple thing as an agent of God and provide an ample opportunity to do so, and yet in our zeal committed to improving on what God would do, we delay, we dither, we procrastinate? The Pharisees and Sadducees were in this boat with their rules upon rules, so they felt they could even judge Jesus. Jesus does acts of mercy, and they criticize him for doing them on the Sabbath. And how would we judge Jesus if he entered here now without certification to preach and lead us in communion or to pray? What happened if Jesus came in sandals? The zealots of Jesus' day also went too far in their murderous activity, and look where it eventually got them, dying in droves at the hands of the Romans. And I'm certain that there are practices and interpretations of what is God-pleasing around here that are solely the thoughts of men, and in no meaningful way linked to the purview of Scripture, or Christ as Word, or kerygma, or creed, confession, or anything else central to the faith. We too, like Hamlet, can't be satisfied with what has been ordained, with doing the deeds set before him, but must improve upon them as though we can do better, judge better, show mercy better, gain more fair to us outcomes. Yet what God expects here is fairly straightforward. God in Hebrews 4 elaborates on and shows us the urgency of the text before us. When God sets aside another day, calling it today. This he did a long time ago when he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So there remains for us an urgent commission. Today is today. Now is the appointed time. And for what? The sharp two-edged sword of the scriptures that bring us to repentance, forgiveness, and new life in Christ. And every day is today. So in every day there is forgiveness and love of Christ in a new Sabbath day. A day of liberation from death and distress in our lives, and a day of rising in hope with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. a day of forgiveness and not despair. For it is just as serious and bad to, in our obsession, add to God's righteous gospel and his holy law the rules of men in the name of the Lord, as a violation of the third commandment, taking the name of the Lord in vain for our own purposes, as it is to leave parts off of the message for our convenience, and because of our opinions and our desire to agree with others, to control others, and through our machinations to aggrandize and seek power inappropriate to the role of a servant. Christ Jesus has come to forgive and abundantly pardon. He stoops to serve and to save, but we often are not content with the pure milk and solid food of the gospel and the maturity that comes by faith. Rather, we so often seek the junk foods of the spiritual life when God would have us live simply, quietly in the green pastures of his word and protection. We complicate matters. We, like Hamlet, don't immediately take advantage of the voice of God with his message of mercy and forgiveness, but we add uncertainty, dithering, conditions to that message, preservatives, if you will, to keep it fresh while we are often adulterating it. So let's not be Hamlet, too zealous to settle for the limits of, in his case, righteous revenge. Rather, as the Lord calls us to his word, we are encouraged to hear, read, mark, and inwardly digest the great love Christ has for us, to live in this obsession with a Lord and Savior for us. We get to revel in his caring and the ministries he has set before us, neither adding to his word nor taking from it. Amen. And now may the grace of God and the love of Christ be with you. Amen.